You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Time for the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Florida's most in-depth coverage of high school sports.
Sponsored by UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute's physicians deliver the precision of academic medicine to every pro, adult, and youth athlete. For your best recovery, go with pro-level expert care. Recover your game at UHealthSports.com.
Yes, sir, that's us. And the new rejoin, they don't say our name, but what the heck, I'm Larry Bluestein, that's Trevor Harris, as we are here with you on a Wednesday evening. Glad you could be with us until 8 o'clock this evening. It is a great time to be a football fan in South Florida, probably throughout the country. A lot of things going on, not only at the high school level, but also, as we saw during the weekend, at the collegiate level as well. A lot of great stuff going on. That Miami game, great game. And it was a great game for many reasons. Being the standalone game on a Sunday night, one. Two, the recruits. Over 150 recruits, top-level recruits were there watching the game against a the best opponent they'll face all year. It's not even going to be close. No one's going to be able to match what Notre Dame brought to the table, even though C.J. Carr is a young quarterback. He's pretty good quarterback. But it wasn't just that. Their line play, their defensive secondary. So Miami stood up to the test. Big plays. And I think we understand now why Carson Beck is here. Because if he certainly wasn't the starter in that game, Miami, there's no way Miami wins. Not even a chance. That's the right calls. Now it gets a little bit easier next week or this week against Bethune-Cookman. And then it's the trilogy of Florida. Well, actually, Bethune's a Florida school too. And then you got USF, and then you got Florida, and then you got FSU. And all of a sudden that, if you were a ticket broker and you had the foresight to buy before Saturday's Alabama FSU game, the Miami FSU game, you got it for basically nothing, because they all figure, what the heck? By the time that game comes, Miami will be undefeated. FSU will be maybe 1-3 or 1-4. And that game's not going to draw much of attention. And guess what? If you're a ticket broker, think you just made your salary for the year because you bought that $150 ticket that's going to sell for $700-$800 come game time. Because of the importance of the game at the importance, it'll be a most likely a 7:30 ESPN kickoff, nationally televised audience if both teams follow suit and go into that game undefeated. which is still a big chore for Miami because they got to play Florida. And they also have to play USF. I'm not, you know, listen, I'm not going to kick USF to the curb. They have Florida this week. They have Miami the following week. FSU still has a couple of tough games. But and not only that, it's just, it's great to see first time in 19 years, Miami, Florida, Florida State were all ranked. And USF got votes after their big win over Boise State. So that's great on that level. Great on the high school level, too, for recruiting-wise. Plus, when we can get these darn games in, because we had a couple of games last week. One was completely called off, which really is crap because of the fact that it was Northwestern and Venice, and everybody wanted to see that game. And I was on hand all day because the Edison Central game was supposed to be the early game. And here's a crazy game that it was when we arrived at the first game for the 3:30 kickoff, sunshine, heat, humidity in the afternoon. And then 20 minutes later, both teams were off the field and nobody ever got back on the field all night. Both games were called because of lightning. Can't mess with lightning. You can mess with rainstorms. But like I tell people, if you're not from South Florida, you just don't understand. We don't just get rain. The rain this time of year and throughout the summer is accompanied by lightning and thunder. Lightning capital of the world. Look it up. Look it in your chat, GPT, XYZ, or whatever you use, or Google. But yeah, that's what happens. And it kind of curtails a lot of these games, which it did. Tomorrow and Friday, we have really good games. We're only in the third week of the season, but this thing flies. That's the one thing. The off season creeps. It's 8 months, 9 months if you don't make the playoffs. But the regular season just blows along. I mean, we're in, you know, first 3 weeks right here already. Great games every week, as you would see. And, yeah, that puts us in a good situation here, too, where every week we're going to have great guests. I mean, we concentrate this week more on the colleges and a couple of high school coaches. But on the overall, you know, we're going to have players like we always do in college and high school coaches. It's tough to get college coaches this time of year, obviously. I don't have to tell you why. But we all got off to a really nice start. How about FIU? We're going to talk to Kevin Burrell, who covers FIU. And Willie Simmons there got off to a great start. That's the good news. The bad news or the other news is they play Penn State this week. Yeah, that's, you know, week two. But you know what? What the heck? You know, I mean, you could if you go up there and at least have a fairly decent showing. Miami's as Trevor and I were talking before, you know, on Sunday evening, it took pretty much forever to get the heck out of there. And I didn't leave for 2 hours. I went to the press conference after the game and listened to Malachi Tony from Heritage and listened to Reuben Bain from Northwestern and, got a chance to listen to all and Coach Cristobal. And yeah, I think they had 5-6 guests in the postseason. In the post, the kid Brown ran the ball, the kid they got from North Dakota State, very well. Because that's what you need. You need a power back in a situation like that that's going to eat the clock up. Because Carr was starting to feel his oats a little bit. And if you don't know the situation with Carr, he's got that local tie. Because Tom Curtis, who it was Dolphin Digest, played for the Dolphins for years, and just a great person, is his daughter's married to Carr's it's her son, his grandchild, and he was at the game, and they kept showing them throughout the game. But that's the tie, Lloyd Carr, the other grandfather, former Michigan coach. So it's you get some ties. And it all comes back, you know, especially the players like Malachi Toney. How about unleashing yourself as a 17-year-old that should still be in high school to the nation? Everybody was talking about him, you know, ESPN, you know, all the, you know, the college stations, Fox, everybody was talking about him. And he did the same thing as a freshman in high school, where Heritage played on national television against Los Alamitos of California, and he just tore it up. It's like a 13-year-old or a 14-year-old. Some people just have that. Some people are just those dogs. And, you know, same thing with Joshua Moore from West Broward. I think people, you know, who had never seen him before were like, oh, my God, that guy's like 6'4" and a half, almost 6'5". And he's a freshman. And I've always been of the opinion that if you are part of this team and they issue you a uniform, you're fair game. You're going to play. Sorry. I don't care if you're a freshman. If you're getting it done, you're going to put your best 22 out on that field. Carter Davis, Western High School, took a long way around to get to where he is now. FAU, went out to New Mexico. He's been a lot of different places. But when you're given the opportunity to come through, and you do come through, that's what it's all about. Count the billions that don't and are given that opportunity, are given that spotlight. And just, you know, just looking at, you know, the players. I mean, the Jordan Faison kid from Notre Dame. From right up the road, St. Andrews from Boca Raton. Caught like the first four balls of the game, you know, for Notre Dame. Went to Notre Dame on a lacrosse scholarship. And now's arguably their best receiver and return guy. Strange the way things work out. And, you know, that's one of the great things about, you know, South Florida athletes. And we're seeing it more and more and more. And everybody just wants to always knock Florida athletes for one reason or another. And I've kind of never got it, but you know what? I don't really care. I mean, I stay in my own lane when it comes to this. Been doing it, you know, for all these decades, and just continue to enjoy what I do and go out to these games and see these athletes, and probably more joy to see them playing in the collegiate level and in the NFL and going into the Hall of Fame, players that you stood next to when they were like 14 and 15 years old, you know, covering people like Mario Cristobal and his brother Lewis at Columbus, and a lot of these coaches that are on the staff now and a lot of staffs. You know, I mean, that's how you build up relationships. And you know, like when Jimbo Fisher was at LSU as an assistant coach, we used to talk twice a week when it came to recruiting, you know, just getting input, just talking about players. You know, nowadays, they know everything about a player. But the one thing that they don't know is probably the most important part of an athlete, and that's their character. You can't see that from film. You can see that they can run, they can catch, they can tackle, they can block. But you can't see the type of character. Are they rooting for you when they're not in the game? Are they out on the sideline talking to friends and family? You know, and those are things that can really, you know, when it comes down to it, character is the one thing that can rip your program apart. If you have lack of character, you have athletes. Because it gets down to the fact that anybody can run a 4.4 these days. You know, I mean, but if you run a 4.4 and you don't have character, what good are you? If you're not going to be a team player and be an individual, you're going to end up ripping the team apart. And what good will you be? So that's the one important part of recruiting that still looms big. And that's things that college coaches cannot see with as much video and camps and year-round coverage, the one thing they can't tell is character. And as I said, negative character could kill a team, just kill a team. You know, if you have athletes that don't care about anything but themselves, it'll rub off on the rest of the team, or it'll affect the rest of the team. And that's the crazy part of this whole deal. But nevertheless, that's why, you know, we have, you know, people like myself and others that go to these games and, you know, don't sit home and watch video only. Again, there's a billion people do that, and then make assessments on how the athlete is. And that makes me crazy, because anybody could do that. Anybody could sit home and watch a video or watch a game, and other than tell you how good they are, which every coach in the world knows, it can't tell you the important part, and that's a good thing. As I said, we are here with you until 8 o'clock this evening, about 7:35 in our high school segments. Coach Patrick Burrows is a first-year head coach at South Dade. Not a first-year head coach. He's been on the landscape before. He's made some really, really good kids with his coaching, teaching, character building. His Bucks are 2-0. Buccaneers are 2-0. We'll talk to him about 7:35. At 7:25, the Dillard Panthers are 2-0. Demetrius Mincy is the head coach. He'll join us about 7:25. As I mentioned before, the FSU Seminoles with one of the big wins, going from number 40 in the country to 14. Pretty good jump there after beating Alabama. Beat them good, 2 touchdowns. I was skeptical. Even when they were ahead, I thought, you know, how you've seen it before, when Alabama gets behind, you know, Alabama's losing 17-6. And then all of a sudden they're winning 47-17, you know. So, but kudos to FSU. We'll talk to Chris Nee from Knowles 247. Adam Lichtenstein will join us from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. We'll kind of rehash Sunday's Miami game, take a look ahead to this week and couple of others. As I mentioned before, Kevin Barral, who covers FIU, will join us. We'll talk about Willie Simmons' first win as we look ahead to Penn State. And University of Florida with a big win. Okay, it's Long Island University. Big deal. But the schedule will just pick up in a big way. LSU, Texas A&M. This week they have USF. Will be a no it'll be no walkover. I don't care. You know, I mean, they may beat them, and I'm sure they will, but USF's not going to come in there and play. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts. Now, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, strap yourself in. We talk a little Florida Gators and FIU Panthers coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break. And best to you.
Let's get back to South Florida high school sports on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsports.com.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Trevor Harris and Larry Bluestein taking you up until 8 o'clock this evening on the South Florida High School Sports Show. And glad you could be with us on this Wednesday. This is kind of our option. We had a chance to do Monday, but that was kind of like, wow, after getting home almost after 1 a.m. on Sunday night, early Monday morning, I think this was a good deal. All the teams in the state did real well on opening day. And obviously Alabama and FSU and Miami and Notre Dame kind of stole the show because of the competition level. But I think the University of Florida, you know, being ranked, 14th, 13th, 15th, wherever you want to say that they're ranked, probably enjoyed having Long Island University as an opener rather than to have to play Miami like they did to start the 2024 season. They got a chance to look at quite a few players in there. DJ Lagway threw for 3 touchdowns, got a chance to look at some of the really, really good offensive weapons that they have. Corey Bender from Gators Online covers this team year round, and I'm sure he has some positives and some, even though in a 55-0 win, sometimes you make mistakes, you miss field goals, you miss blocks, things that are going to hurt you down the line. But Corey has been covering this team long enough to know, and he's kind enough to join us. Corey, thanks so much for taking the time on our Wednesday show. And hey, so what do you think? I mean, would you much rather open up against an opponent like Miami or something like Long Island University where kids can get, a little bit of confidence going?
Yeah, Larry, no, thanks for having me on, man. No, I think you said it perfectly after playing Miami last season. Obviously, it didn't go the way it wanted to go. And then, ever since then, people are kind of looking at Billy Napier. Is he the right guy for the job? And, you know what I mean? The heat was on right out the gate. I think with Long Island, especially with DJ Lagway having kind of an injury plague offseason, is the opponent they needed to kind of have Lagway get his feet wet, get his confidence up. And, I mean, even though there was so much expectations of DJ Lagway going into this year, I mean, he needed more snaps. Yeah, you know I mean, he was injured for a lot of last year, so he needed more game time. Right. So I think it was the perfect opponent, the perfect time for this Florida team. And like you said, Larry, everyone knew they were going to beat Long Island. I mean, it was a blowout from the gate. But obviously there's some positives and some negatives. I think one of the main things is, offensively, Vernell Brown. He has some big plays. He stepped in and definitely didn't look like a freshman. Tramell Jones, the backup quarterback. I mean, as you know, Larry, I mean, he missed his senior year due to injury, and he was calm and collected. And I think gives Florida fans some kind of a fresh, sigh of relief knowing, okay, I think we have a guy in the number 2 spot. DJ ever was to go down or have to step out, you have a guy who's more capable, is more calm and collected to kind of take on that role. And I think, Larry, the biggest thing, too, though, when you want to kind of look at stuff they have to prove on, I think it was 11 tackles for loss for Long Island. And that's nice. Kind of unacceptable for an opponent, for a team like Florida, who brought back almost their whole offensive line. Jake Slaughter's an All-American. You have a lot of returning pieces. So, obviously, a lot of positives, but a few things to work on. And as we saw at USF and Boise State, USF is not going to be a slouch in week 2. So, they're going to have to make some improvements, going into week 2.
Yeah, you make a good point, too. Obviously, in a game like that, it could be a little sloppy because the focus sometimes might not be what you want, and it's the first game, but you're 100% right. You look at Lagway, he was on target. He completed, 75% to 80% of his passes. You got a chance, as you said, look at Vernell Brown, who's a freak of nature and going to be around 3 years, so you better get a good look at him. Eugene Wilson, freak of nature. Hayden Hansen had a touchdown reception. Michael Sturdivant, also did extremely well. But you know what? As you said, they missed a couple of conversions. They missed two field goal attempts. They missed an extra point. So those things kind of, you know, like against a team like, you know, Long Island University, where it's 55-0, that wasn't going to hurt them. But down the line, you know, as you said, this week's going to be a little bit tougher. You know, if you know Coach Golish, over Alex Golish over USF, he doesn't compromise, and he's taking this game like it's the biggest game of the year. So he's, and we saw him last year in the first half against Miami play them head to head, especially with a quarterback that comes back. Yep. And then you got a situation too where they played Alabama 2 years ago, and that damn thing went all the way down to the end of the game. So you know, so you never know. It's going to be, you know, Florida's got a huge crowd, but USF has something to prove, because the next week after they got to come down to Miami and play Miami, and it's you know, it's not an easy schedule, but at the same time, it's something that he looked forward to. Defensively, as you mentioned, you know, there's a couple of things that you know, Florida has to work on, you know, finishing a lot of things, but they did pitch a shutout. Who are you impressed with on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I think Miles Graham, Larry. I mean, obviously the linebacker, Ernest Graham's son, who finished out his high school career at Buholt in Gainesville. I mean, very athletic linebacker, a guy that's, you know, a guy can really move sideline to sideline, fluid in space. I know a lot is expected of him this fall. So I think seeing him, it's already a deep linebacker room, but seeing him emerge, I think that was a good thing for Florida. They're very excited about him. You know, Caleb Banks, who's their All-American defensive lineman, he didn't play last week, and understandably so. They're kind of nursing him back from an injury. So he's a guy that will kind of come back and really kind of make a statement. And I don't know if you, later in the game, Javari Flowers, Larry, I mean, he's a guy that saw some time later in the game, had a pass breakup. And I think right now in the secondary, I mean, they didn't have too many opportunities thrown their way. I think Long Island only attempted 11 passes, and they probably attempted a few more, but it was 11 actually thrown, and I think the other ones, the quarterback was flushed out of the pocket. So the secondary didn't have much to kind of, you know, there wasn't a ton to evaluate, but I think when you look at the secondary with Cormani McClain, Devin Moore, you know, the Deshaun Johnsons of the world, I mean, a lot of familiar names in the secondary that I think will have more opportunities against USF. And you mentioned, Larry, I mean, this USF team, I mean, even after last week, they said, hey, this isn't the same USF, you know. And I think even though some people are like, well, Boise State was overrated, I think regardless if you think they're overrated or not, that was a statement win that I think in previous years USF probably would have fell short in. So you know, coming into the Swamp, they're brimming with confidence. So they're thinking, you know, Florida needs to fix some things, but I think USF is thinking, man, if we can somehow upset the Gators in the Swamp, I mean, I can't imagine the type of season they could have. So it's going to be very interesting. Florida, I mean, a lot of positives. I know you mentioned field goals. Trace Mack, I believe he only missed 3 field goals all last year. He's been one of the more reliable guys and kind of had a debut, to, you know, as far as season debut to forget. I think it was career high, 57-yarder, a career long, I should say, but had a few others that he missed. So I think he'll bounce back. I mean, he's been reliable as it is, but I think when you look at Florida from A to Z, a lot to really kind of be proud of. But I think offensive line, when you talk to a lot of people close to the program, especially also the fan base, offensive line is where I think most people are underwhelmed just because it's one of the more experienced groups they have. And regardless of what the game is, even if you have backups in, Long Island's it's a big step down an opponent. So having 11 tackles for loss isn't a good thing. So we'll see if Florida can bounce back and really kind of tweak those things along the offensive line and prevent USF from getting the backfield. So I think the Gators still pick up a pretty sizable victory this Saturday, but you can't sleep on USF. I mean, they're brimming with confidence.
Yeah, no doubt. Corey Benner joins us, Gators Online, and we talk about that USF, but what about LSU, Miami, Texas, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Georgia, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Lord, Tennessee, and FSU? That's the schedule after Saturday. And three of those four games will be on the road, Miami, LSU, and also A&M, a team that came in and kind of humiliated the Gators last year at home. Tough schedule again. I know that if you mention that to Billy Napier, he'll say, let's just take South Florida, okay? Well, we'll concentrate on South Florida. certainly a lot of optimism around this team. They'll know a little bit more come Saturday at 4:15 on the SEC Network, an SEC Network game. And then we'll take one game at a time. You got the ABC televised LSU contest the week after. And then Miami, and it doesn't get any easy. Corey, let everybody know how they can follow you, because I'm telling you, man, you do such a great job.
No, we appreciate it, Larry. Yeah, you can follow us at GatorsOnline.com. Simple as that. I mean, nonstop recruiting and team coverage. Really, I said right now the site's really trending up in a great direction. Gators Online is the Twitter handle. And then Corey_Bender, simple as that. That's my Twitter account. And right now you can join, you know, for $1. You also get a free year of access to The Athletic. So kind of a win-win as far as getting a lot of coverage from different angles. So definitely chime in. It's a fun time to be a Gators fan, as just like last year. I mean, Florida's rated, has the toughest schedule in college football. And like you said, Larry, LSU, Miami, that's when it gets serious. So that's why I think a victory over USF is needed, you know, as far as confidence to go into those big games.
I hear you. Corey, I can't thank you enough, brother. We'll catch up really soon.
Thank you so much, Larry. Have a good night.
You too. Corey Bender from Gators Online. And take advantage of their special. If you're a Gator fan, please do so. I mean, it's inexpensive. You get a trial period. See if you like it. They do a lot of great jobs. They write a lot of stories. They have a lot of, you know, stats, things that you could use. And great information to have. As you mentioned before, the era down at FIU, Willie Simmons has started, and what a great first game, 42-9 over Bethune-Cookman, and a game that, you know, everybody wanted to see, and they wanted to see almost 20,000 fans for the opener, in weather that was, what, I guess an hour and a half delay or so. Kevin Burrell covers this team, I mean, like nobody else. I mean, he has the insight on the football, every sport, but you know what, after a game like that, especially, you know, coming up with a huge win at home in front of some great fan base, it kind of gives everybody a lot of optimism. Even if you go to State College this week and play the number two team in the country in Penn State, Kevin is so kind enough to join us this evening. Kevin, thanks so much for taking the time. As much as you'd love to look ahead to this week and say, you know, hey, Penn State is this and that, you got to look back and be happy for what happened in that opening game.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for having me on, first of all, Larry. And you know, it's kind of a sigh of relief, right? You look at the last couple of years in the McIntyre era, FIU loses to Monmouth, the FCS team. Look, the year before that, only win by two against Maine in his first game for McIntyre at FIU. It was a double overtime win against Bryant. So you finally go in there, dominate an FCS opponent, 42-9, don't allow a touchdown for the first time since 2019. You have six rushing touchdowns, and that tied the program record, which was, I believe, set as well in 2019. So overall, couldn't have asked for a better first game. Great crowd, despite the lightning delay, as you noted, 18,000. That's the most FIU's had at a true home game since 2019 as well, I'd like to say. So it's been a while since they had that type of a crowd, and let's hope that's the case against SAU and the Shula Bowl in 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously there's a huge hurdle this week, and something that's going to be pretty interesting for this team to go and play such a big-time program. I think they're ready because you have a couple of kids like Keon Jenkins, who's been there, done that before, and, you know, and Owens and some of the other kids that have been around on the offensive side. Jenkins had a really good opening game, completed 18 passes for 187 yards. You got some really good defense as well. You know, great job by Percy Courtney and Cheney and guys like that. Talk about the team as a whole, because, you know, offensive line has gotten a lot bigger, as we saw during the offseason. The defensive line has gotten a lot more talented. I mean, this is a whole different team, really, when you look at it as far as athletes and talent. Talk about what everybody's looking at this year, because I think that they have an opportunity to really put together a year where it could end up in a bowl game.
Yeah, totally agree. I think it starts with the trenches. That was one of the biggest areas of concern. You lose four out of your five starting offensive linemen. The only one remaining is Jaheim Buchanan, who did start for FIU on week one. And they got bigger. They bring back a guy like Julius Pierce, who was with the program for a couple of years before heading to Middle Tennessee. He returned to the program. He's the starting center for this FIU team, probably the oldest player on this FIU team. And when it comes to, I guess, seniority, I think he's one of two graduate students on the team. So he's there. And then you look at the defensive line. I think it got huge. You know, it got a lot better. You have Keegan Davis returning. He's one of the two starters on defense, yep, making a return. You have Quaylen Hill there in the inside. He squats about 700 pounds. So I don't think many people know that. But he's a tough, tough guy to move, and that's all I've been hearing throughout camp and even throughout that first game of the season. And then you have Big Sue. I'm not even going to try to say his first name. He's a Marshall transfer. He was at Virginia Tech beforehand, so he's been around the power conferences for a while. He won the Sun Belt with Marshall. So great opportunity there, right? I mean, that's probably one of the biggest guys I've ever seen step foot into on campus for FIU. So yeah, I'm really excited about that. And then Kenson Simmons. I mean, that's the JUCO transfer who I think James Franklin even noted this during his weekly availability that's probably one of the guys that looks like a Big Ten player. And that's good to hear, right? I mean, you're going into Big Ten country and at State College, and that's the guy who had a sack in the first game. He's excited about it. He's going to play in front of the biggest crowd of his life, just coming from the JUCO ranks and playing high school ball. So not a guy who's well-known, and I think he's going to be pretty well-known in a couple weeks here. Around at least Conference USA, for sure. The staff really likes him. He's been the starter since day one, since he got here. So he's been one of the biggest bright spots of this FIU team.
Yeah, no doubt. You noted defensively too, Kevin, with Keegan Davis. He's been there for a while from Treasure Coast High School up in Port St. Lucie. I mean, this is somebody who's worked his butt off to be in this lineup. He made an impact. Josiah Taylor is another kid who I think is going to be really good for him this year. And, you know, a lot of the kids like Brian Blades the second, who, you know, I mean, he's been there, done that before, been around the game. And as I mentioned before, Percy Courtney, who came up with the sack. And then your secondary, and I think Victor Evans out of Monsignor Pace is going to be really special. They got a lot of kids, and as you mentioned, Kenton Simmons is one of those guys who, you know, has that ability to kind of make things happen. So defensively, I mean, and I didn't see what Coach Simmons had to say, but he had to be pretty darn pleased with the effort. I mean, you know, I mean, obviously Bethune-Cookman's not, you know, they're not FSU, but they're still a good football team. And, you know, you take a look at some of the talent on their team as well, because Timmy McLean, if you remember, was at USF at one time and, you know, a really good football talent. And they had guys like Marquis Johnson who can run the ball. So they had some talent. And I think, as you mentioned, they control what FIU did is control the line of scrimmage. And I think that's the one thing that he was pleased about most of all, especially going into this game this week.
Yeah, certainly. It's definitely, he was happy with the defensive performance. He was happy with offense. Wasn't too pleased with the special team side of things, outside of the two, you know, booming punts from FAMU transfer Trey Wilhoit. I mean, it was a kickoff that was hit out of bounds, which ended up being a flag. There was a muff punt. There was a missed field goal. So a lot of issues there. He said that it just wasn't, you know, that side of the ball was not held, did not, you know, play to the standard that he expects it to be. And, right, you know, it's a very experienced, although it's a lot of you guys, it's a very experienced side of the ball. So he's not pleased with that, but definitely have to be happy with the defense, keeping them just over 100 yards rushing. And obviously, I mean, Timmy McClain, UCF guy, USF, was Arkansas State last year. So he's got plenty of FBS experience. So definitely not an easy task. So yeah, credit to them. The defense played well. Johnny Chaney Jr. with the forced fumble. You mentioned Percy Courtney with the sack. Let's see what happens against Penn State. And it's a much tougher challenge. You're going from the worst team you're going to play all season to the best team you're playing all season. So you really get to see where your team's at on two completely different spectrums.
Yeah, 100%. Kevin, give everybody an opportunity how to follow you, social media, also some of the things that you write. You do a great job as well. And I know the Marlins are another thing that you do extremely well for your repertoire. But certainly FIU Sports, you got a handle on it. Let everybody know how they can follow.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Kevin_Baral. And you could also follow me on my Substack, which is KevBaral2005.substack.com, and you can check out all my content. I already put up my preview for the Penn State game and going to be dropping a couple other things as we get closer to that game on Saturday.
Awesome. Well, we'll keep in touch all season long. I think it's going to be a really good year. I had an opportunity to go out to a lot of things in the off-season camps and also to the spring game. And I was, you know, I mean, how can you not be impressed? You know, the coaching staff, especially with that South Florida flair on it, a lot of the kids who have come back, you know, especially Lights Out, who could have probably gone anywhere, but he did come back. And, you know, and certainly he's going to be just such an asset to the program, as well as we mentioned Keegan Davis and such. Kevin, thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Good stuff. Kevin Burrell does a great job, knows FIU inside and out, and it's going to be important, guys, especially this year, because you have an opportunity to cover a program that has an opportunity to get to a bowl game, which is a great start in year number one for Coach Willie Simmons. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and even youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we close out our number one. Adam Lichtenstein will join us. We'll talk University of Miami from the South Florida Sun Sentinel.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Time for more of the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute.
Back on you on a Wednesday, Larry Bluestein and Trevor Harris up until 8 o'clock this evening. Thanks so much to Corey Bender from Gators Online. Kevin Burrell covered FIU sports to set the table here in hour number one on Sunday evening over at The Rock. Memorable evening, 27-24, the Hurricanes, who have been elevated to number five over Notre Dame. And as I said before, and I'm sure our guests will agree, that's the best team Miami's playing all year. I don't care what you say, whether CJ Carr is in his first start or a couple, they're just good. I mean, they're a good football team, defending national runner-ups. But what a game. And Miami kind of established itself. But it's got to be a game-by-game thing. Obviously, I know that Bethune-Cookman's this week. But then, you know, then it gets a little tougher and tougher and tougher every week. And Adam will be at every one of those games and checking them out. And he's kind enough to join us this evening. Adam, thanks so much for checking in. Obviously, game one under their belts a lot. You look back at last year, Miami with a kind of a breeze win over the Florida Gators. I hate to rub that in, but this year a little bit different. A big-time opponent, sellout crowd, national audience, only two teams playing on that evening, and everybody got an opportunity. Give me your assessment on the game, and obviously I'm sure you agree with me. Notre Dame was one of those opponents that you're not going to see much of this year.
Yeah, and thanks for having me again. Yeah, I projected, you know, before the season started, like a week or two ago, my prediction was that Miami would go 11-1, And I thought if there's any game they were going to lose, Notre Dame would probably be the most likely, because that is probably the best team they're going to face all season. So the fact that they, you know, pulled out a win is, you know, huge for them. It's huge for the season. It's huge for the perception of the program. And it just, it sets them on a really good trajectory for the rest of the year. And, you know, like you said, Notre Dame's a really good team. And the fact that they were able to, you know, for most of the game, I mean, they never trailed in the game. They were, you know, at worst they were tied. You know, really, really good performance. And the scary thing is, I mean, granted, you know, how much of it is Notre Dame being good, but I don't think Miami played up to their full potential in this game. I think they can be better than what they showed on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree with you. And not only that is, well, everybody made, oh, well, Miami kind of got lucky when they tied it. They could have lost the game very easily. But think about this, and then maybe you can credit Notre Dame for coming up a big play. It was 21-7. Miami converts that first down. It could have gotten a little bit ugly because Miami was moving in. Of, you know, the way they were running the ball, the way they were throwing the ball, they could have put up and made it 28-7 or 24-7. And then the whole complexion of the game changes. But as I was pointed out when we were talking, you know, at the game, hey, that's why Notre Dame is what they are. When you, you know, when you have a really good team and they rise to the occasion and they're defensively, they're, I mean, you were talking about what, the number three defensive team in the nation last year. I mean, and yeah, they lost a few pieces, but their secondary is really sound. And that makes what Malachi Toney did as a 17-year-old true freshman that much more impressive, being able to beat that defense, you know, for 82 yards and the catches that he made. Give me your assessment on Carson Beck. I mean, you know, I mean, I could tell you this and, you know, just being a, you know, an observer of the game, if Carson Beck doesn't start and you had to start somebody else, this would have been a runaway. This wouldn't even been a game because of the fact that Carson Beck was a cool customer. He did what he had to, didn't make mistakes, no interceptions.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think this is a good but not great game from Carson Beck. You know, he did what he needed to do, you know, had a couple, you know, pretty good, you know, the first touchdown to Toney under pressure was a great throw and a great play. The second one to C.J. Daniels, I mean, I think maybe if Daniels doesn't, you know, make the catch of the year, then that might have been picked off. So maybe, you know, judging more by the result than by the process. But, hey, it worked. They scored. And, yeah, no big mistakes, no real issues. He looked, you know, cool as a cucumber. It looked really good, you know, a lot of the time. Only a couple of throws that I really, you know, didn't think were that good. And this was the best defense he's going to face all year, most likely. So if this is Carson Beck up against a playoff caliber defense, he's not going to be facing those every week. So if this is, you know, the floor basically of what the Carson Beck experience is going to be at Miami, like, you know, they're in for a really solid year.
Yeah. And last year, the kind of ouch moment is every time Miami had to stop somebody. And, you know, there was a couple of breakdowns, you know, the one where Carr ran around. And I thought I credited Notre Dame more on that play for the lineman not going over the line of scrimmage. Because remember, he was running all the way around and they probably figured, well, you know what? What if he has to run? You know, let's stay back, you know, because your first thought was let's get upfield, you know, in case he throws a short one, you know, right behind the line of scrimmage and they need our blocking. But I thought that was awesome. That was a breakdown. And obviously there was one later for a, you know, long, but I thought the secondary and heck, you know, as bad as that secondary was last year, was aided by the fact that your front seven, Adam, did a tremendous job. I mean, you know, we know what Bain's capable of. We know what Messidor is because they're two leaders on that team. But I thought Raul Aguirre played really well at linebacker. I think he led the team in tackles, you know, in the game. Wesley Saint, you know, he stepped up. Mohamed Touré, who they got from Rutgers. So defensively is where all eyes were on because last year it was the deficiency. Miami had the best offense maybe in school history last year, production-wise, but defensively they just couldn't stop anybody. Talk about the defense.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, they looked so much better you know, than they did, especially at the end of last year. And again, against a really good team, good teams are going to make plays. And yeah, Notre Dame got theirs. But at the end of the day, Miami was just, you know, a little bit better, you know, on defense. And you mentioned Reuben Bain and Akeem Messidor, you know, just basically, I'm sure those offensive tackles are going to be having nightmares about that game because of, you know, especially the end of the game where it's just like they met at the quarterback two plays in a row, and just really impressive stuff. And yeah, there were a couple breakdowns, but and I'm sure, you know, Corey Heatherman and the defensive staff are going to be working, you know, to try to eliminate those entirely. But there were only a couple, at least only a couple, that Notre Dame was able to capitalize on. So, you know, overall, I mean, the defense looked so much better than it did last year. I think, you know, this defense has a lot of talent on it, a lot of depth, where, you know, Popo Aguirre, like you said, had a really good game. He's not really a starter on this defense. It's more Motore and Wesley Vassane. So the fact that he's able to come in and make a big impact, like, just shows you this team is so much deeper on that side of the ball than they were last year.
And everybody said, oh boy, if it comes down to a field goal, I don't know, you know what I mean? But Notre Dame had the same woes too. This is a kid that they had, Barnett, who 2 years ago killed Miami when he was at North Carolina. Last year, not so much. And now you have a guy who is replacing probably one of the most accurate kickers in the history of Miami. And you didn't know what to expect, but Carter Davis, who we got a chance to see at Western a little bit, kind of took the long way around to get to Miami. He probably went to a bunch of other schools, but how impressive were you not only with the field goals, but his kickoffs?
Yeah, I mean, the kickoffs, I mean, we knew he had that booming kind of leg, you know, that we knew from his time at FAU, but, you know, the big knock on him was his field goal, you know, record at FAU, which was not good. So, you know, with the exception of, you know, the botched snap in the first quarter, they were true. They went, you know, and of course, the most important one at the end goes through the uprights. And, you know, I didn't expect him to win the kicking competition. That was something they kept, you know, kind of close to the vest and you know, didn't announce, you know, until the day of the game. So I assume Bert Allman was going to win that job, but you have Carter Davis come in and, you know, do what he did and you'll win the game. It's really impressive stuff.
Yeah. Good stuff. Bethune-Cookman, before the storm starts, with some really good teams. And obviously the Gators will test USF this week. So we'll see what type of, you know, if that was just one of those things that they beat Boise State, or are they for real? And will they go up to Gainesville and give your Gators a little bit of a push? But we'll never know. Adam, let everybody know how they can follow you, write some really good things. And certainly on your social media, you're very active.
Yeah, definitely very active. You can follow me on Twitter at AB Lichtenstein, on Blue Sky at A Lichtenstein. And you can read everything I write at sunsentinel.com.
Good stuff. Hey, we'll see you Saturday. I appreciate you for coming on with us in midweek.
Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Adam Lichtenstein, who covers University of Miami sports for South Florida Sun Sentinel. That'll wrap up hour number one. Please do not go away. We're good. Especially if you're an FSU football fan, Chris Neese coming up, and he's got a load of great stuff. Don't go away.
Time for the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Florida's most in-depth coverage of high school sports.
Sponsored by UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute's physicians deliver the precision of academic medicine to every pro, adult, and youth athlete. For your best recovery, go with pro-level expert care. Recover your game at uhealthsports.com.
Yes, sir. Welcome back to hour number two of our South Florida High School Sports Show for a Wednesday special night this week. Obviously, Monday being Labor Day, and kind of carry over everything for you tonight. Kind of a mixed bag, talking a little college football, talking a little high school football, which we'll do in our next couple of segments with Demetrius Mincy from Dillard and also Coach Patrick Burrows from South Dade. Big games over the weekend, probably none bigger than the two that we talked about before. Miami's win on Sunday evening against one of the best teams in the country, Notre Dame defending national runner-up. And then how about Saturday, a game that even though when Alabama was maybe losing 17-7, you say to yourself, well, we've seen this before. You know, I mean, Alabama will come back and they'll score 35 points and – didn't happen. Didn't happen at all, because Florida State came up big, played Alabama heads up all game, used a great offensive performance, obviously, by their new quarterback, Tommy Castellanos, who not only was the leading passer, but the leading rusher for the Seminoles. They got great defense, and they come up with an impressive 31-17 win and go from number 40 in the country all the way to 14. I'll tell you what, in the offseason and over the last 2 years, Chris Knee from Knowles247 has been, and I've said it, he's always maintained that, you know, he's been an even keel guy. Never got too high, never got too low. Said, listen, you know what? That 13-1 season, you know, last year was tough, winning two and losing 10. But I'll tell you what, I give Chris credit because he stayed the course and he understood that with the coaching staff, with a couple of additions, things kind of turned around, and they have after game one. I know it's only game one. There's a lot of football to be played, but Chris opens up hour number two with us. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time. Listen, I call it how it is, my friend. You've been that guy who has never gotten too worried, and you didn't want to throw in the towel. You didn't want to get rid of, you weren't one of those guys saying, hey, let's get rid of Norvell. You were just saying, let's give this thing time. Let's see what happens. And I'll tell you what, game one kind of turned out pretty darn good.
Yeah, that exceeded pretty much any and all expectations of the best case scenario, if I'm being honest. Yeah. Like, it was phenomenal to watch. I think it speaks a lot to the fact that Mike Norvell was willing to change. He became more of a CEO in the offseason. He handed off offensive play calling, brought in Gus Malzahn. We saw the impact of Gus with what that offense did with keeping Alabama off balance throughout the day, putting Tommy Castellanos in a position to be ultra successful, as well as plenty of others. Defensively, Tony White comes in here from Nebraska, 3-3-5 system, a lot of variation to that 3-3-5, though he's not stuck on it just being three down linemen. It's a lot of different looks, a lot of different things, a lot of different bodies. And man, the most impressive thing to me, as someone who's been around this program for three decades and covered it heavily for almost 25 years now, that was one of the most physical FSU football teams I've ever watched at Florida State.
Yeah, both sides of the ball. And certainly on the lines of scrimmage where Alabama, and you know, you've watched enough, Alabama usually takes control on the lines of scrimmage. They have usually big, aggressive offensive linemen and cat quick defensive guys who end up in the first round. But FSU answered all the bells, and you got to give Earl Little Jr. a little bit of credit, somebody who played at Alabama, was recruited heavily by Alabama, but he was certainly a monster for FSU on Saturday. And I mean, you know what? I heard Coach Norvell in his post-game press conference and a lot of the interviews, and you know, he just said, listen, our kids work so hard in the offseason. Sometimes when you get a lot of new players, it's a chemistry problem. And you can understand, everybody does. I mean, you get a bunch of guys who have come from other places with different philosophies. But he said the one thing that really surprised him, and he said you could see it in the late spring and into the early summer, is how everybody came together. Talk about that.
I mean, so on that point, if you think about it, FSU kind of flipped a roster essentially two straight off seasons. Right. And in 2024, it failed miserably. It just didn't work. They went 2-10. They picked the wrong quarterback. The offense had a massive amount of issues. They were relatively inept. Defensively, they weren't very good. And by the SMU game, which was about the fourth, fifth game of last season, FSU relatively quit, if we're just being a matter of fact. I think it's unbelievable that to basically have to do that again. And then you kind of nail it this time around. And FSU's had some great success in the past in the portal. I mean, 2023 had plenty of portal pieces that played a huge role in them being 13-0 for much of that year. But why did it work this time? I think because they picked the right people. I think they learned a valuable lesson from 24 with regards to, one, you need some alpha personalities. You definitely need one at quarterback. And Tommy Castellanos, he's not even borderline cocky. He is cocky. But the personality, yeah, it works. It's good. Like, they needed that injection. Multiple players, Luke Pettibon, for example, who came in from Wake Forest, excellent center for FSU, he calls Tommy a spark plug, and I think that's a perfect description. I think the other thing is they went and got a lot of guys who like to play football. They like to win. They are vocal. They're comfortable holding each other accountable. Deuce Robinson, who's a legacy, who came in here from USC, Luke Pettibon, who I mentioned at center on the offensive line, they brought in three other offensive linemen this offseason, all veteran guys. And it's just worked. It's clicked. And it's, you know, they talked about it all offseason. We're going to be desperate. We're going to have an edge. We're going to figure this out. You can talk about it, but to actually go do it and to do it immediately off the bat against such a high caliber opponent, I just think it speaks to they did a really good job of essentially doing a mass reset. And that's a credit to a lot of people that remained in the building from last year. Certainly a credit to a lot of new people that showed up to the building for this year.
Yeah. And, you know, and you've watched high level games. You've watched Alabama against Georgia and some of the big games that they've played. When have you ever seen their running game look so basically inept? I mean, they got less than 100 yards. Usually you get that in a quarter. This is a FSU defense that, I mean, you know, it's funny because here's Tommy Castellanos, you know, like in the weeks leading up to the game, talking about how this is not going to be a contest and we're gonna run over them. And everyone's going, oh, my God, what is he saying? I mean, bulletin board material. But I'll tell you what, you know, you had to feel good. You know, now moving forward, I don't think Norvell cares what he says. I mean, you know, go ahead, say what you want if you're going to back it up like that. And he certainly is. He's a dude. And as you mentioned, too, you know, the defense, you know, this is a defense that last year in some of those games, you look back at Clemson, you look back at the Miami game and some of those games where they put up no opposition. But in this game, that was the difference. They turned the ball over. They kept, you know, there was 2-3 and outs that were very important, especially when Alabama started coming back on them. So moving forward, and obviously, you know, as well as I do, I mean, the season is going to be long. There's a lot of big-time games, you know. I mean, certainly taking them one at a time, in retrospect, this is a heck of a game to start with. And, talk about that. Talk about this team and what you got out of some of the players at the end of the game. I mean, obviously, you know, there was a reality. And I remember one of the players saying, boy, if we only knew that all we had to do was hire Gus Malzahn and bring in a quarterback like Tommy, that, you know, it was that easy. But they really flipped it. As you said, they really flipped the script in that game.
Yeah, I think one of the overriding themes from the players since the game concluded is that they had a confidence in the fact that they could and probably would win that game. And, you know, everybody bet against them. They're a 2-touchdown dog in Vegas. Everybody on this beat, for the vast majority of us, we all picked them to lose. Though I think I can speak for a lot of us, we thought they would fight and we thought they would battle because that had been such a theme of the offseason. It was kind of abundantly clear they'd had a very physical camp intentionally. But, you know, at the end of the day, on paper, you think Bama is a more talented football team. They win a four-quarter football game. That wasn't the case. FSU is still not a more talented team. Alabama still has more dudes on that team who play in the NFL than FSU currently has on their roster. It didn't matter. FSU was the hungrier team. They were the physical team. You know, Ashlin Barker in the first quarter pops Ryan Williams on a little pass pattern there, and Ryan Williams was never the same in that game. And Ryan Williams is an exquisite talent. Second-best receiver in his class behind Jeremiah Smith, who we all know, especially you guys down your way, know is out of this world good. So that speaks to they shut down a running game. And, you know, that happened to Bama a couple times last year. Bama against Michigan, Tennessee, I think they had one other. Maybe it was Vanderbilt. They were sub-100 in the rushing category. So it's sort of a sign that showed up last year. And I think that played a role in FSU's preparation or belief they could do it. But, again, you got to go out there and do it. The thing that I took away from Saturday is that they're relying on a lot of young guys, the Desir twins from down at Norland down your way. Sure. There are a couple that you can point to. Amari Williams is a second-year guy here, but he was a reclassification. So really, in reality, he's more like a first-year age-wise guy. A lot of young pieces, and some of those guys made huge impacts for them on Saturday. And when you have guys that are ahead of the curve, ready to contribute like that, and you brought in a lot of veteran pieces via the portal, and seemingly early on you've hit on them, it changes the dynamics. You know, most people came into the season thinking FSU is an 8-4 football team. I don't think you're going to find many people that still believe they're an 8-4 football team. If they played that well consistently, they can play with anybody on their schedule. That includes Miami, who's extremely good, Clemson, who we know has plenty of talent despite not playing great against LSU, and then Florida. Those are the big three that remain on the schedule. I think the key for this team is you have to be that every week. And that's a big task. It's tough for 18 to 23-year-olds to bring the same amount of effort 12, 13, 14 weeks of a season in a row, basically. That's a tough task, a tough ask. That's tough for great talent football teams. FSU is filling the margins of talent with desire, want to, physicality, and those things. And if they can continue to do that, they're going to have a far better season than anybody projected them coming into the season.
Good stuff. That's Chris Knee, Knowles247. Let everybody know how they can follow you on social media, and obviously some really good stuff coming into the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, the company Twitter is Knowles247, mine is CKnee247, and you can also follow our Facebook, I think it's Florida State Seminoles on 247 Sports on there.
Good stuff, Chris. I have a feeling that you and I are going to be talking a lot this year, and great job by the Seminoles, great job by a lot of kids from the state of Florida, and hey, listen, looking forward to that big game on October 4th, Saturday in Tallahassee. Hopefully Miami and Florida State will be undefeated, and it'll be a nationally televised game that will just be another one for the ages in this tremendous rivalry. Thanks, man. Have a great evening.
You too, Blue. Take it easy, buddy.
Good stuff. Chris Knee from Knowles247. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts. They treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we talk high school. Coach Demetrius Mincy from Dillard. Coach Patrick Burrows from South Dade are next.
Let's get back to South Florida high school sports on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsports.com.
Yes, we are back with you up until 8 o'clock this evening. Now we are ready to talk our high school football segment. As I said before, Pat Burrows has done a tremendous job no matter where he's been. Took over the South Dade job in the offseason, and I will tell you, he hit this darn thing running. Has worked extremely hard, got some tremendous coaches around him, and the Bucks are 2-0 heading into this week's game against Miami Norland. And we welcome in Coach Patrick Burrows. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. I know it's a busy week for you, and you've worked extremely hard, and I know that when we had you on, when you first got the job, you said, listen, you know what? You know me. You know how I coach. You know I'm not a no-nonsense guy. We're not going to have kids running the show. And you certainly have done a great job over the last couple months. First of all, welcome to the show. Congratulations on the start. But I know it's just a small portion of where you want to be at the end of the year.
Well, I appreciate it, Larry. Good evening, by the way. Actually, you know, we're starting young and trying to build a culture our way. You know, I mean, just a perfect example of that. I'm just coming back from what was supposed to be our JV game. We were supposed to play our JV game today versus Norland. And I wanted to come there and see my JV in person because that's how much it means to me to build a program from the ground up.
Right. I mean, and you said this to me, you go, listen, you know me. I mean, I wouldn't take this job if I wasn't sure that we were going to take this thing to the top. And you certainly, even though players left before you got there from the other regime, you said, hey, listen, you know what? These kids are going to understand that the way that we do things is the right way. It's a proven way. You guys work hard. You go to a lot of events. You expose these kids to some high-level competition. And not only that, you're assistant coaches. Look at your assistant coaches that you hired in the offseason. I mean, you know, you got a guy who knows the community like yourself and Ronnie Thornton, who's been there, done that, state championship game 2 out of 3, last 3 years. You brought in a lot of people who love the game like you do, but have that discipline as well. Talk about that.
It's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. It's one of the main reasons why I am able to kind of focus on the future of the program by peeking my head into some JV games. It's because of my staff. I mean, you talking about Pat Terry, offensive-minded offensive coordinator, and just a brilliant mind offensively. I mean, all my coaches. I mean, Coach Desmond Holland, one of my former players. I mean, he's pretty much a neighborhood hero in community, the spark plug on our defensive front. Of course, Ronnie Thornton, like you said before, I mean, that's having another head coach, which is why he's my associate head coach. So it's just a blessing to have all these coaches out there. I mean, Naquan Phillips in the secondary, Jeremiah McKinnon in the secondary. I have 3 offensive line coaches. You know, we just trying to build these kids into having a bunch of guys around them that's going to help them take their game to the highest level. And I'm just fortunate and blessed to have them. I mean, my head JV coach is a great guy as well. So, you know, we started from there.
Yeah. And you've been down this road before. And, you know, I mean, this is, I mean, you, even though you stepped away from coaching high school football, you were around it with South Florida Express. You've known these kids. You're a teacher of the game. You're a student of the game. I mean, you probably know as much about college football as anybody have ever been around. And certainly when you took this job and you started off this season with a win over Booker T. Washington, and then came back with that Battle of Lucy Street, which a lot of people, unless you've been in it against Homestead, you don't know how much it means to those communities. And then coming away with that. And then this week you got the home game against New Orleans, which is going to be a huge ticket. Talk about these, you know, what would you expect out of these kids? Because as you said, there's a lot of young guys. You're getting a lot of first year players that, you know, hadn't had an opportunity to step up and be in this situation before, but yet they've responded.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's ironic. The first time we spoke, my first interview with you early this year, I named all of these upperclassmen on our special kids. You know, they're great, talented kids. And none of those guys are here now. So now I went from what would have probably been one of the most veteran teams in Dade County to I'm definitely probably one of the youngest. I only have about six seniors. I don't know offhand if all six of them even start either. So this team is very, 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 very young. And we need as many games as we could have under our belt. So we had our two games under our belt, and now we're going into New Orleans, an experienced team. I mean, those players are probably not starters from a year ago at New Orleans, but they were all there. And they were all a part of a winning culture. And so we're going against a team that has a winning pedigree. They have a winning coaching staff. And it's going to be great to see our kids play at home in front of another great crowd, because that crowd last week was electric. I mean, it was standing room only. And if we have that same kind of crowd rallying behind us, I think I got to give our kids the extra juice that they need to play their best game, because you're going to have to. The only way you beat New Orleans is by playing your best game. You got to play your A game. So that's our thing this week.
No doubt. Patrick Burrows joins us, head coach, South Dade. And these first four games are good to get these kids ready, because you know as well as I do, the three games that really count are those middle games against Columbus, Palmetto, and Miami High, all district games, Gables as well. Obviously, it's a competitive district with Columbus alone. But certainly, you've been down this road before when you were at South Ridge. I mean, you built that team up. Southwest, you built that team up to the level where they're playing. And, you know, now, as you said, New Orleans, it's a good team, a team that lost a lot. But I got a chance to watch them last week in their game against Carroll City, and certainly a program that has speed, a quarterback that's young, but certainly somebody that's growing. Talk about some of the kids that you're going to be able to trot out there, because I noticed in the first two games, especially last game, defensively, you come up with a shutout against Homestead, which is huge. But you've outscored the opposition 74-20 in the first two games. So it's coming from both sides. Talk about that.
Definitely, definitely. Oh, that sounds good. The 74-20. I didn't even know that. That sounds good. It sounds better than how I saw it. I saw the 21 penalties last week that we had against Homestead. So we harped on those kind of things. But yeah, that sounds good. But Ronnie Thornton III, that's one of our staples in the secondary. Great force in the backfield. Is a secondary safety, but plays like a linebacker. Of course, that's Coach Thornton's son.
Right.
We not only have Mike Harris coming off the end at defensive end, we also have Uriah Gomez. He's a special talent. I expect him to be a five-star. He's just a freshman now. He'll be a five-star by his senior year. Tremendous talent. Our quarterback is coming along as well. This guy might have one of the best combat stories of the season if he keeps it going. Andre Sierra, he's doing a great job. My freshman running back, Andrew Simmons, He runs like a horse. You know, he runs like an upperclassman, keeps his feet moving, great kid. He's going to have a bright future. He'll be one of the top running backs coming out of the county when it's all said and done. And, you know, Damian Fisher, one of my middle linebackers, great leader in the middle, doesn't talk verbally, but he's a leader on the field. And these guys just have to step it up. They have to step it up and get all the other kids on the same page, which they all have, all the other players. But we have a lot of buy-in right now. We have a lot of buy-in. I can name a lot of other guys.
Yeah, but Michael Harris is a guy that we've talked about in the past. Kid's a beast. Uriah Gomez, as you mentioned, Chevin Marshall. So those are guys that, you know, you've had, what, 13 sacks in the first two games, which is not terrible, you know, which is certainly, you know, making a statement. And as you mentioned, too, a name that is familiar with that program, Jaden Shropshire, running back, who is also somebody pretty special as well. But, yep, looking forward to it. Norland this week. And then you take each game one at a time. You get prepared for that district run. And I can't thank you enough, Coach, you know, for joining us in midweek. I know that you and I talked during the summer and you said, you know what, now it's time to do things our way. And now you have kids to be around the program. And it certainly has shown after the first 2 weeks. You had a really good off season, very productive. You guys did a lot of things. And I know that you and your coaching staff have worked overtime to make this season a success. And you've done so pretty good so far.
I definitely appreciate it. Without my administration and my parents and the coaching staff, I mean, we wouldn't have what we are. We wouldn't be where we are right now. So we just gonna keep trying to be the best that we can be and give it all and see how it goes this Friday versus Norland.
Good stuff. Harris Field, 7:30, home game, and got to pack that place. And I'm certainly, I think that they will, especially after winning that rivalry game last week. And the kids now know what it is to play in front of a pretty good crowd. And certainly I was vocal last week. Coach, again, thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Larry. Have a great one.
Good stuff. Coach Patrick Burrows, head coach, first year head coach at South Dade. He has his Bucks at 2-0 heading into this week's game against New Orleans. That's going to be definitely a challenge. Speaking about starting off 2-0, what about Dillard? The Panthers have done a tremendous job. They hit the ground running in the Broward Showcase game on their beautiful new turf at the field. We had their principal on our BCAA show today, and he talked just so many positives again about the football program and about our next guest, who is the head coach at Dillard, Coach Demetrius Mincy, and he's kind enough to join us. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. Thanks so much for being on hold with us, and I appreciate what you guys have done over the last couple of years, but I guess it's all coming to a point now where everything's kind of coming together for you.
Absolutely. What's up, buddy? Appreciate you having me on. I would say everything is coming along. Yeah, I like where we are right now.
Yeah. I mean, two huge wins to start the year off. You know, Dr. Phillips in the classic that didn't start till after 10 at night. And you guys came out and you ran the course. You shut them out 39-0. And then last week against Stranahan, certainly in the same type of fashion. I mean, this is a really good football program. And you knew that coming in, especially the way that you finished last year and having an edge on Heritage in the playoff game. But coming up a little bit short, that the players that came back this year kind of bought into what you did. Talk about that, because I think that it left a kind of a sour taste in the mouth of the some of those kids coming back the way last year ended, but it certainly kind of sparked you. And especially with the schedule that you have, I mean, this is a year that can end up, further than anybody had ever predicted.
Well, absolutely. I agree. We didn't finish the way we wanted to finish. You know, we was up 14-0. We let it slip away. So the whole offseason, the message has been about finishing. Attention to detail, small things. I'm super excited about the defense because We returned 8 out of 11 starters, so there's a lot of experience on that side of the ball. Starting with, you know, my son, Demetrius Mitchell Jr., the linebacker. He's been on varsity for 4 years. Jamar Marquez, Kenny Brown. He's right now leading the county interception with 3, 1 return for interception for touchdown. You also have Amari Brutus, who's been playing amazing, number 6. Dakari Brown, the defensive tackle. Zarte Demery, my defensive end, number 22. These guys are experienced. They don't point fingers. They build each other up. So I'm super excited about that. On the offensive side of the ball, my 4-star, Anthony Jennings. But it starts with my leader, Jaden Chico, my quarterback. He has a lot of experience. Right now, you know, he's leading the guys the way I want him to do it. We've been playing with, like you said, weather delays and lightning, so we had to sit out for a while. He's been keeping the guys going and motivated, so I'm excited about that. Him, where he can take us there, how far we can go. We're going to go as far as he take us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's going to be far because Jaden, as you know, great student, over a 5.0 in the classroom. Certainly somebody that's going to go somewhere academic-wise after he's finished playing, you know, here in high school. But having that leadership, and you kind of skirted over your son, who I think is really, really good. He's going to FIU. I think, and I've said it before, I think FIU stole him because this is a kid who's a student of the game, as you mentioned, 4-year varsity performer, gets it done in the classroom, gets it done, obviously, on the football field. Talk about his contribution and his leadership to this team, because sometimes a coach's son gets a lot of pressure because, you know, dad expects a lot out of him. But in your son, he kind of delivers on and off the football field, makes you proud dad, not just on the football field, but also in the classroom.
Oh, he's all right. He's all right.
You're so funny.
Just teasing. I'm teasing around. No, honestly, he's been working hard. Like I said, he's been on varsity for 4 years. He understands what it takes to get there. From Little League, he was always one of the guys. He understands, like, bringing the state championship to Dillard, what it means for him, what it means to the community. That's one thing he always talks about. He wanted to be the best. So I just told him, you know, this your senior year. No regrets. Whatever holes you had in your game, whatever question marks they may have, let's go out and prove it. So he's playing with a chip on his shoulder.
Yep.
Each and every week he go out and practice, he's paying attention to the small things. Something so simple as the running back stepping up when he sees a jet sweep coming. The gaps, he want to make sure everybody lined up right. He's becoming more of a vocal leader this year, taking on a bigger role. So, I mean, he's doing pretty good.
Right. And obviously, before we let you go, your administration and had a opportunity to have your principal today at BCA, have a segment with him today. And he talked about this program and he talked about how these kids have bought in and, you know, how they get it done in the classroom. And you know, and they're not just football players, but they're student athletes. How important is that to hear from, you know, your principal that he admires what you guys are doing, you know, not just on the football field, but also in the classroom?
Well, I love, you know, what's going on right now under this administration. They have an open door policy. About anything, I can come in and talk to them about anything from class changes, just about, you know, just about anything they're open to having a conversation about. And you can see all the new things that's going on at Dillard with the turf field and with the new basketball court. So we got administration that's leading, pushing the students in the right way. I'm loving that. My principal, he's been backing me from the first time he got in to now. So I'm loving the direction we're going in.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, and hosting all those games there for the Broward Showcase, and I know that the Corner Canyon Utah team played there, and I was on their sideline when they were playing West Broward, and their principal and their athletic director were over the moon with your new facility, and, you know, just the way they were treated by, you know, the BCAA and the community. That field is really nice. I mean, you guys are breaking it in at the right time. You have another home game this week against Northeast, which will be on Friday at 7 o'clock, which should be an interesting game. But and the schedule kind of like plays in your favor. You got Boyd Anderson on the road. You got Miramar, Riviera Bunch beat Suncoast, which is a district game. Obviously, Dr. Garcia, who is another good team. Coach Byron, Coach Walker, Brandon Walker coaches that team. And then Boynton Beach, Deerfield, you also have Blanche Ely in there. Obviously, I know it's a one game at a time, but certainly this week against Northeast and then Boyd and again, I can't thank you enough for joining us. Congratulations on everything that's happened so far. Going to have to get your son on this show in a couple of weeks because I think he's a special young man for what he's been able to do. And like you said, playing 4 years at the varsity level is not easy. And he's done a great job. Best of luck this week. And again, thanks so much for coming on with us. And certainly I just want to let you know that all the kids that we deal with your program are first class and extremely well behaved.
Appreciate that. And I just want to give a shout out to our fan base. And our parents, I believe we got the best. And my defensive coordinator, Otis Reagan. And I'm telling you, keep your eyes on number one, Christopher Tillman. Number four, Tyofi Clay. Number seven, Anthony Carey. Those guys are going to give you a show this season.
Good stuff. Coach, I can't thank you enough. Have a good one.
You too, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Good stuff. Coach Demetrius Mincy, head coach at Dillard. They're undefeated. I kind of think they're going to stay that way. I know that there's some teams on their schedule, but they have a good shot to be 10-0 and certainly one of the best in the state in Class 4A. Remember, they rattled a little bit of the chains over at American Heritage in the playoffs last year. In fact, they had the lead in third quarter of the game, but glad that you stuck with us on this Wednesday evening. We'll be back in the saddle Monday evening again. Can't thank enough for Trevor for what you do for the show. Appreciate you. Don't forget, missed anything, go to WQAM.com. Go to the top of the page where it says podcast. Thanks so much to Corey Bender, Kevin Burrell, Adam Lichtenstein, Chris Nee, Coach Patrick Burrows, and Coach Demetrius Mincy, and we'll see you next Monday.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.